7:20. John Landecker at WGN. James Bond now belongs to Jeff Bezos. MGM sold to Amazon for $8.45 billion. It's got to be the biggest story in Hollywood today, at least. And with us to help understand what's going on is Dan Feinberg, who is from The Hollywood Reporter. Thanks for joining us, Dan. Glad to have you on.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You bet. The first phrase that caught my eye, other than, you know, Amazon, MGM, $8.45 billion, was, quote-unquote, MGM Holdings. MGM Holding, which obviously means way more than a movie or TV or, I mean, it's literally everything MGM has, right?
This is a deal that is basically about a library, and that is the MGM library, which has, as you say, a vast, vast assortment of 100 years worth of cinema in it, to say nothing of some recent television as well. And in the streaming landscape that we are in, where everybody is looking for different ways of differentiating, Amazon made a very, very big splash with this MGM purchase. As you say, an $8.45 billion splash.
AT&T, there was a $43 billion spinoff of Warner Media, right? And that division includes HBO, and it went to Discovery. Is there some sort of battle going on between really rich guys going, mine is bigger than yours?
I believe you just described the soul of America. So, so yes, there absolutely is that thing. No, the answer in a sort of big picture sense is that for the past 5 or 6 years, the streaming universe and the entertainment universe, it's been an expansive universe. And everyone has known at every single step of the way, things do not expand forever. Eventually, things contract. And I think what we are starting to see is some sort of awareness that maybe not 1 year from now, maybe not 2 years from now, but say 5 years from now, not all of the streaming services that you're paying for today are still going to exist. So everybody is trying to find the best way to position themselves so that after the apocalypse of streaming services happens, and we all know that Netflix is still going to be there because we just assume at this point they're the ones at the top of the pyramid, but everyone is trying to make sure that they're going to be there too. And so that's what Warner Brothers was doing last week, or what happened with Warner Brothers last week. And it's definitely what happened with Amazon today.
More than ironic, and I'm sure it's not it's just a coincidence that both of those huge deals happened within a week or two of each other, because they just don't happen overnight. I mean, there had to be a lot of negotiations going on and lawyers and agreements, and that they all would come to fruition so close to one another is a coincidence. It's a coincidence, I guess, yes, but it still gives one pause. I mean, you know,
it's making sure everybody making sure that the news cycle doesn't get monopolized by one service or one corporation for too long. So, yeah, I mean, both of these two things that have happened were in the works for a long time. Don't just happen.
Of course.
But yes, the fact that this came together as quickly as it did after the Warner Brothers thing last week, there's no question this was Amazon and MGM saying, okay, we would like to be in this news cycle too, please. Here is our very, very, very big deal.
And it's, you know, I'm just thinking as you're talking about the emergence of streaming services, the Netflix, the Amazon, the division that existed between the move, quote unquote, movie industry and the streaming industry. And it wasn't that long ago that some movie makers, I don't want to mention a name that's in my mind because I could be wrong, but what they were saying was movies from streamers are not movies, and they do not deserve, they do not deserve to be in the Oscars. I think and now look, I mean, that was not that long ago.
No, and this has changed faster than anybody could have imagined, and certainly the major precipitating force in the change has been Netflix. Netflix has basically continually been the company that's been pushing down whatever the barriers were, and so one year a festival like Cannes might say, welcome Netflix, and then the next year they might say, no, we're only going to do real movies, not streaming movies, and then they realize that if you aren't in business with Netflix, you're not in business with the most powerful studio in town at this point, so you've got to be in business with Netflix.
I love this stuff. It's 9:16. We're going to take a break. There's so much more that I want to discuss about this merger, and we'll do that next on 720 WGN. That's the MGM Lion. And that's the Amazon Prime logo. MGM sold to Amazon for $8.45 billion. And to help us understand all the different ramifications of this, we're talking to Dan Feinberg from The Hollywood Reporter. Amazon gets what MGM has, which is, as I understand it, a film library of around 4,000 titles, 17,000 hours of TV programming, franchises like Bond, Rocky, The Hobbit, classics like Raging Bull, Moonstruck, Silence of the Lambs. But, you know, a streaming service or no service can exist on reruns. I mean, there's got to, which is basically what we're talking about, but there's got to be new content to justify, I would think, $8.45 billion, isn't there? I mean, just because you can start going with a win doesn't give you $8.45 billion.
It gives you the potential is what it gives you. And that is what everyone at Amazon was emphasizing in various announcements today. They kept emphasizing the IP that MGM owns. And then they kept emphasizing the ways that they could bring the IP into the 21st century. So does that mean we're on the verge of getting a James Bond television series? No, it doesn't mean we're on the verge of that, but it means it's possible. Does it mean that we could get a different kind? You know, there's already Clarice, there was already Hannibal, but yes, MGM owns Silence of the Lambs. Yeah, right. Could we get a show that's built around that? We could, no reason why not. So that's going to be the question, is all of those titles that you just mentioned, the 4,000 or however many it is, what can they find in that that they can remake or reboot or Xerox or do all of the other things that Hollywood is doing with everything today?
Right. So they get the copyright, obviously, the rights to all of these stories that are in these films, so that if they wanted to access any of the films that they own and update a version, they already have the rights to do that. They don't have to get them from somebody. Am I correct?
Exactly. And they get the infrastructure. The infrastructure and the production pipeline are very, very important as well. And look, you can't overestimate how important it is to simply be able to dump those 4,000 titles at some point in some piles into the Amazon Prime database. You know, that is on its own an extraordinarily valuable thing, because you look at the companies that have launched streamers without libraries, and it's conspicuous. It's conspicuous when something like an Apple TV Plus, which has had a lot of good programming, but they launched with basically no library. And that has been a limiting factor for them. You know, people are like, look, I want to watch these four shows, but that's not going to keep me on the service. Mm-hmm. Whereas a site like Disney Plus, for the first year, they had one season of The Mandalorian, basically. And yet people stayed on it because they had the bloomin' Disney library.
Oh my gosh, yes.
It's incredibly valuable.
Okay, I have a family connection with all of this. My daughter, Amy, is an actor, and my son-in-law, Bradley Whitford, is an actor. And Amy was in a very successful Amazon series for a few years called, I'm losing my mind. I can't even remember my daughter's show. Transparent. That's it. Transparent.
Indeed.
Yeah. And Bradley has been in a ton of stuff and is currently in The Handmaid's Tale. And then I read today that MGM is got something going with Hulu and The Handmaid's Tale.
Well, basically, MGM was the producer on a number of TV shows that have been elsewhere. So MGM owns The Handmaid's Tale. Hulu is the distributor for Handmaid's Tale.
Gotcha.
Now, just because Amazon purchased MGM, that doesn't suddenly mean that Handmaid's Tale is going to come to Amazon. But it does mean that at some point, maybe the deal that Hulu has for distributing it might end or might not. So another show that, for example, is an MGM production is Fargo, the FX take on the Coen Brothers movie. So there's another thing. So these are a lot of things where currently they have other homes. Maybe at some point in the future, when whatever streaming deal anyone has with anything else is up, things might revert back to Amazon, or there might be negotiations. And also, you know, once you own MGM, if Hulu is paying a licensing fee to MGM for Handmaid's Tale, that money's going to Jeff Bezos or to whoever. The money's still coming in regardless of whether it's on Amazon or not.
There's another aspect to this that I don't know if it was addressed in media today, but it occurred to me talking to you that, you know, with the pandemic, many movie theaters, you know, closed and are trying to reopen, and some films are being released now only to theaters, and in some cases, like on HBO Max, they'll show you a movie for a month, and then they'll take it to a theater. Isn't this sort of, not a conflict of interest, but a, I don't know how to put this. How do you, on the one hand, acquire MGM, run an unbelievable streaming service, and also release films that'll bring back movie theaters?
Because it's all just money coming in and it's money coming out. And so the challenge is figuring out, from anyone's perspective, what in 2021 at this point is a theatrical release? What is a movie where you can put it in the theaters and you know that in our current moment, and with some people still very, very hesitant to go to theaters, you can still guarantee that you can actually get a theatrical box office out of it. And so if you're Amazon and you now own MGM, and for the record, this deal isn't going to go through probably anytime in the immediate future. Obviously, there's all sorts of government regulatory blippity-bloppity that is way beyond my pay grade. But when you have something like James Bond, you know you have a franchise that is a theatrical franchise. So you've got that. Whatever other movies they have on the MGM slate, and there are a handful of good ones that are slated to come out the rest of the year, some of them will probably have a week or two on theatrical and then maybe come to Amazon or something like that. And it's one of those things everyone has to figure out, because Warner Brothers made that big deal this year about saying everything is going straight to HBO Max for that month.
Yeah.
And that freaked the Hollywood community out, because they didn't know how to process it. And it was such a blanket statement. The question is, how going forward will people figure out which things go in which bucket? Which are theatrical? Which are straight to streaming? Which are theatrical for 2 weeks and then to streaming? It's a work in progress.
Well, even the Emmy Awards, which were years ago, and I mean many years ago, broadcast television, then came things like HBO, which was cable, I believe, in its original incarnation. And then come streamers. I can't imagine being an executive at a studio in Hollywood and trying to stay on my toes as to what the hell happened overnight and what do I got to deal with today. I mean, do you think there's more deals down the road?
I would say without any question, because I think that some of these streamers are going to need to be packaged in some way. It is the question of, with Disney, if Disney has Disney Plus and Hulu, and then they still have ABC on TV and they have all their cable entities, what is the way that you can streamline the process? And consumers desperately need for there to be some contraction here, because at this point, it's the worst case scenario where you're being gouged at every turn, and it's tough, and I don't know how people do it, and it's so hard. Now, no one is ever going to make a business decision where the purpose is to make life easier for consumers. So what you have to have is the business decision that will allow for the greatest profit, where coincidentally it happens to help the consumers, and some consolidation would accidentally help consumers and would really help a bunch of really, really, really rich billionaires.
As it always does.
Sure. This is an art form we're talking about here.
Right. Of course. Let's not forget the indie features. Come on.
Exactly.
Well, hey, Dan, thank you so much for being with us from The Hollywood Reporter. And obviously, this is something that certainly fascinates me. I can tell you that. As I said earlier, the thought occurred to me just a couple of years ago, Martin Scorsese or someone of his reputation was like, hey, these streaming movies, they're not movies. They don't get to go to the Oscars. And now look, it's something else. Thanks for being with us, Dan. And look
Always
forward to
pleasure.
Reading some more stuff in The Hollywood Reporter. All right.